When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
From the king of sports books comes the king of sports podcasts. Unleashed. Presented by BetMGM. Here's your hosts, Jerry Ferrara and Olivia Harlan Decker.
All right, we have a great show coming up. Former NFL All-Pro Le'Veon Bell will be joining us. That is going to be such a good interview. You won't want to miss that. Now he's rapping. He's even making his boxing debut against another NFL great, Adrian Peterson. So we'll talk to him all about that. We'll talk about him playing with the Steelers and what he meant by saying he wished he had a time machine to go back to 2018. Okay, so last week, my new co-host was welcomed with rave reviews. Y'all love him. I love him. We had a lot of fun kicking things off. Jerry Ferrara, how you doing, my friend?
I'm just glad you guys had me back. I wasn't so sure. You never know after you record a pod. You're like, I think we did well, you know, I think it was good. So now I feel like every week too that goes by, we're getting closer to football. And then obviously we got the hoops countdown. Yep. So I'm locked in, ready to go.
Well, even if you totally stunk, I think your contract would still keep you around for a year. So good thing you did.
Yeah, exactly. Good thing I'm not on a 10-day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't do 10 days around here. Year contract. No, we're with each other all football season, all year. This is going to be so much fun. One of the things I promised you last week as we kicked things off is that I would start Entourage from the very beginning. Obviously, you played Turtle. That still is what a lot of people call you. What, you know, when I tell people you're the co-host, they say, oh, I love Turtle. I love Entourage. But I made it through four episodes and am really, really loving this show. I'm laughing out loud.
So, yeah, and don't forget, I'm 23 years old. I'm probably a lot closer to 200 pounds back then.
Yeah, walk me through your weight loss journey, because it doesn't even look like you.
That was just, you know, I was always like a kind of chubby kid, but and also... that's how they wanted me on the show. Turtle definitely fit, you know, to be a little schlubby, a little overweight. And then, you know, you end up working so much. Craft service is really good. I started enjoying dinners, stuff like that. Yeah, I kind of ballooned up to like 205. And it wasn't until I turned like 30 years old where I'm like, you know, I got to get this together. This is really starting to go down a path of something that's going to be hard to correct as I get older. And I just like, it was very simple. I just like started lightly working out and eating a little bit better and just little by little over time. I didn't lose like 30, 40 pounds in 2 months. Like you hear some of those stories, but they were not happy when you'll see later on, like I come back like in between like year 6 and 7, which is only in the show supposed to be like a month later. And I'm like 60 pounds lighter. Okay. And Doug Allen couldn't write all the kind of fat jokes that they used to hit me with early in season one. So that's kind of my fitness journey.
So what I'm learning about your character is, I mean, you take such a brunt of all the jokes. And then obviously the dog, Arnold, and the attack. Like, did you have a stunt double in that scene?
No, that was me. And I'm definitely in a lot of, I'm wearing like all Rangers goalie equipment. So you see, even like the sports was pretty prevalent in that first episode. I have a Yankee jersey on at one point, a Yankee hat, and then a Ranger jersey. So if you actually look at the dog attack closely, that dog was so sweet. He was like licking my face, and like they couldn't actually get him to violently like pull me by the crotch. So they had to really kind of edit around that because it was just a sweet dog who didn't even want to pretend to hurt me. So
okay. And it was just like a actor dog. Like, how does that work? How do these dogs end up in movies and shows?
Yeah, I think we've had two over the years that played Arnold. The one that was there the longest was like Rocky. His real name was Rocky. I mean, there's even a later episode.
Oh, so there's a switch. Will I notice it's a different dog?
You won't notice, but it was funny because they actually had a little puppy also as well that they were sort of grooming to replace Rocky. Imagine that. It's kind of like some quarterback situations we've seen in the NFL where like, hey, we're drafting this young kid. He's not going to play. It's still your job. But eventually he will take your job and you will be sent to retirement. So we had Rocky for a good amount of time, and then Rocky stepped away from the camera. And then I'm not remembering because there was only like 1 year that we had the new pup. But he filled in. But yeah, the dog's like stormed off set before when he didn't want to work. Yeah, it's definitely changes the dynamic of a scene when you're working with kids or animals.
Divas. So then also like the episode I just watched is when you're all going to go on a big group date. Because E has a date with Ari's assistant, and then everyone is trying to find dates. And you get the one from the fan mail of the naked girl who comes and is obsessed with Vince. But the whole thing about your character is like, you cannot get a girl to save your life because they want to see Vince's room. You, I think, give a piece of his clothing to one girl you have sleepover.
Yeah,
I
mean, some of that dialogue.
Your poor character. I feel so bad for your character.
Well, yeah, and I do even remember like, God, how am I going to make this line work where I'm basically like, yeah, I showed her where Vince eats breakfast and that was it. Like some of them was like, you know, again, this is 2004, different times, but you'll see, I think there is a comeuppance that will, as you continue to watch, you know, of all those characters, I do think, and maybe because I was the youngest and sort of like the little brother, I was the latest to evolve throughout the show. But when I do, I think a lot of the fans back in the day really appreciated Turtle's journey. And now, you know, I'm in New York with my kids. We're back in Brooklyn. My kids are not Brooklyn kids, which makes me very upset because they only know Ohio. But, you know, the show was really popular in New York and LA. So there is a lot of people coming up like, oh my gosh, Turtle, take a picture. And my 3-year-old is like mesmerized. He's like, why are all these people coming up to you? So in bed, we woke up one morning and he looks at me. He's like, Dada, are you a turtle? That's what, like, he said it with the most honest, earnest, like, or you a tortoise? Why do people call you Turtle? And I'm like, you know, we'll get to that down the road. So that'll come up over the years. We'll find out. You'll find out when you're probably in your teens.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, the show's pretty racy. When will you let them watch it?
That's the funny thing, right? It was a lot easier when there was no internet to say, like, you're not watching this, and you hide the VCR tape or the DVD. Nowadays, like, he's going to have a phone. You want your kids to have phone for safety reasons.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to, I haven't really fully thought that through of what happens when the kid stumbles upon your work from 25 years ago by the time he has a phone. So I really don't know how I'm going to handle that.
You're saying in Cleveland or just in the Midwest in general, like, you don't get shouted out as much as you do on the coasts?
It definitely comes up, but there's just so, you know, if it's just a numbers game, there's so many more people out and about. Even this morning at the park, you know, there's hundreds, if not a thousand people coming in and out. So your chances of getting spotted are a lot greater. Yeah. So yeah, he asked me.
Oh yeah. Just a lot of people. Yeah.
And you know, we were New York guys on the show. Like I said, LA and New York, like the Midwest, the middle of the country loved the show too, but the coasts definitely early on loved Entourage.
Okay, so I haven't told you this. And again, I'm just now catching up and I'm loving it. Like every spare second I have as I'm giving my baby a bottle, anything, we are watching Entourage. The kid loves Entourage too, by the way. He's watching the TV. It's funny now because back a couple years ago, I had an Entourage cast member slide in my DMs.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, we know it's not me, right? Let's just clear the air right there. It's it was not me. We have never really met until we've... Okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. I'm buckling up here.
And I don't want to play this game because no one... Like, you don't need to out people. You don't need to, like, you know... I'm not going to say all the... all the people. Boy, am I tooting my horn. Like, who slid in my DMs. Not like that. But in general, you know, I don't want to play that game. But this one is now very funny as I'm watching the show because I'm like... I didn't really know who he was at the time.
Right.
I had to ask my sister.
Okay.
I want you to take a guess who it was.
Oh, boy. Well, here's how I'm going to narrow this down. I'm going to cross Kevin Dillon off the list because I don't know if Kevin Dillon knows how to slide into a DM, technologically speaking. Okay. You know, that's one thing I've always admired about Kevin Dillon. I think he just got like an iPhone like not that long ago. He's just not like, he doesn't want to be on the phone. Awesome. He wants to interact with people. So I'm crossing him off.
Okay.
Connolly, too, was very late to social media. If I had to guess, because I think he was the earliest on social media, maybe, and I'm going to guess Adrian Grenier. That would be my guess. I don't feel great about it, but that's my guess.
No. And I would have known who that was. I mean, yeah. And I probably would have responded, too. He's a good looking dude. No, I'll give you one more guess.
Piven? Sure. Why not? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Does that surprise you? Is he that kind of guy?
You know, I really don't know, but you didn't know Piven at that point was in a lot of movies long before. He probably had the longest resume before Entourage, either him. Well,
went
close.
Right over my head.
I would have lost that bet. I'm already down. I'm already minus money on the pod. I'm 0-1. So I hope I could pick it back up on this episode.
Oh yeah. I sent it to my sister and I was like, who's this guy? Cause you know, it was verified. And I'm like, who is this? And she told me, yeah. Anyways, I had to tell you that, but no, hey, he's great on the show too. My God, is he a funny character?
Yeah. Three-peat Emmy award winner, I believe. I think he won the Emmy 3 years in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah. No, he's so good. Well, yeah. So every week I'm going to tell you where I'm at in the show and yeah, totally loving it. Okay. You promised me this week that you would find me some Houston Texans wins because last week we broke down the AFC and you thought that there'd be some surprises in the Texans schedule. So that was your homework assignment. Find me some Texans wins. Did you find any? What you got?
So guys, listen, I know I ran my mouth a lot last week that the Texans, I didn't even say the Texans are going to just win more than 4.5 games. I said they're going to upset a good team, maybe more than once during the year. They sort of did it last year. I went through the schedule. Remember, this now we're barely even through preseason. So this is not final answer time. This is my early picks. I went through it. Bears week 3 doesn't really qualify. We really don't know what the Bears are going to do. And we'll talk more about the NFC because we're going to dive into the NFC later. They did already beat the Titans last year. I had that circled week 8, but here it is. I truly, truly like the Thursday night game. It's week 9. I do think the Eagles are going to be a good team. It's in Houston. Mm-hmm. I think that is going to be one of those sleepy. It's Thursday night. Those are always a little weird. I think they might stumble into a loss.
Yeah.
That's my number one. I do have a number two, and I'm already going to pick on the NFC East. Week 14, the battle for Texas, Texans, Cowboys. That sounds like a cowboy. Let me trip over my own 2 feet, stumble against the Texans, and bring the NFC East back to craziness because we were supposed to run away with it. And now we just lost to the Texans in week 14. So the door is open for the Commanders to sneak in at 8-9. We'll get to all this, by the way. I'm coming in hot on the NFC East.
Okay. I'm loving this. And I have a lot of concerns about the Cowboys too. I can't wait to circle back to the great state of Texas, but that's what we're going to do. After we talk to Mr. Bell, we are going to break down the NFC. And I think we both have a little bit more skin in the game. That's both of our teams, the Packers and Giants, who play each other this year in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And I haven't said this on the show yet, but I'm moving to London in like a week. So I'm going to go to that game. I'm really excited. Maybe I can do some live reporting for Unleashed there. But that game, Jerry, are we going to be on good terms that week?
It really all depends because that's what, week 4 or 5, you said?
Yeah, it's October 9th.
Yeah, if the Giants are like 1-4, if they get out of the gate like they've gotten out of the gate the last couple of years, like, yeah, I'm going to want to win, but I might not be as obsessed. But if we get out of the gate and are even close to 500 hanging around, that's the fun part about your team being in the NFC East. You are truly never out of it. Even at 6-10,
that's true.
You're still sniffing around the division. So mm-hmm. no, we'll be cool. But I will say the Giants play good in London. Historically,
yeah.
They have a lot of London games under their belt. They play well in London.
Well, yeah. So as I was watching the Packers preseason, you know, there was a lot of talk. Everyone's upset. Jordan Love threw 3 picks. I think 2 of them were his receiver's faults. But I don't know. It's I told the story on Twitter Live the other day for BetMGM. We did a win total preview for the whole NFL. And when we got to the Packers, I mentioned I was at a wedding this summer and that I was talking with Jordan Love for a minute and didn't realize it was him. And then my husband came up and I was like, oh, that guy was really nice. And he said, Liv, that was Jordan Love. That was QB2. So it's a great guy. So I'm only cheering for the best for him, but a little bit concerned about the health of Aaron Rodgers, the future of Aaron Rodgers, because we don't know what we're doing. You know, we're beat up on the offensive line with David Bakhtiari still recovering. And then our receivers, we're not sure who's going to fill in for Davante Adams. So I certainly have question marks for the Packers.
Yeah, I don't know when we do our NFC preview. I don't know if you're going to like some of the things I'm going to say about your squad, but I'm sure you're going to absolutely destroy my squad. So I'm ready for it. I'm totally ready. I'm defensive. I'm a defensive minded player today.
I love it. Hey, you know what I'm ready for?
What's that?
I'm ready for you to take over the reins. Any topic you want to talk about, it is time for you to unleash on Unleashed. Go ahead, my friend.
It's time to unleash.
Yeah, I'm nervous about this one because I know no one's going to, this is going to be a big eye roll for a lot of you listening. I know it. And this is going to be on social media. I'm sure the lovely people at BetMGM are going to clip this, put it out there. So, but I want to prove to you that I am going to speak my mind and not be afraid to take strong stances. I even discussed it at dinner last night. This is not my original idea. And some people have mentioned this before, but this is everyone has that one friend. You have a few drinks, you just talk sports and the conversation goes all over the place. This is his thing that I am now fully on board with. Are you ready? I'm going to give it to you in one line and then we'll talk it out.
Okay.
Super Bowl Saturday.
Ooh.
Super fit. Now, really, yeah, exactly. That's the face everyone kind of makes. It's like, ooh, not the best idea. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Lord knows the NFL does not need help marketing the Super Bowl to us. Why move it if it's such a successful thing? Just think about if you actually went to the Super Bowl, right? And it's on a Saturday. And then you have that whole entire next day. Or even if you had to be up at work 5 a.m. on Monday. That's kind of a bummer. But if it's on Saturday, you get all day to recover Sunday. You could even actually still have a Sunday fun day after the Super Bowl. No one really owns Saturday night. Like college football obviously does. They'll be done by the Super Bowl. UFC does. Hopefully you guys can get off that same weekend. Super Bowl Saturday. It would be great for the city that the Super Bowl is in because people won't, you know, oh, it's Sunday. We got to get out of here. I got work the next day. They might linger around, you know, Indianapolis for a couple of hours more than they actually would. This is an old head take. Because the bottom line is, I don't want to be up till 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Watch it. I struggle with it on Thursday and Monday night games. The Super Bowl, obviously you have to watch it. Why not Super Bowl Saturday? Why not? Mm. What gain is it to have it on a Sunday other than historically that's what it's always just been? What other gain is there on Sunday? One game.
Coming from a TV network perspective, I'm sure there's a reason. I'm sure there's some kind of programming issue. I'm sure there's a reason it's on Sunday. And I'll look into that next week. I'll tell you if I find anything. As someone who most years of my life goes to the Super Bowl, I will tell you it's great having a full weekend in the host city leading up to the game with all the hubbub. You know, it's like my dad calls the Super Bowl on radio and we always do a big Saturday night dinner. Like my mom books it whenever the city is announced of who's hosting the Super Bowl. She finds the best steakhouse and books it. And we bring like beads and colors and like we do it big. And Saturday before the Super Bowl in the host city is popping. Like if it is in Indy, if it is, you know, in LA last year, it was popping. Like it's just what you do. It's just a part of it. And you know what, Jerry? Why ruin a good thing? I think it's a good thing.
I'm going to push back a little bit here. I hear what you're saying. I totally get it. The night before, there's all the hype. There's all the excitement. You slide that to Friday, I think you have the same effect. Now, it's a lot easier, I feel like, for people to either leave a little, like you're going to be there probably if you're either covering it, working it, or just going. You're probably going to get there like Wednesday or Thursday, right? So it really doesn't shorten your stay, if anything. It just extends it. Now, those parties on Saturday night, why not have post-game parties? Why can't it be the next day and you actually get to talk about the game with your friends that you just watch at a pool somewhere, or, well, I mean, if it's in a warm city, or at a casino or whatever, at some other party? Why can't you have the day after party? Why not?
I will tell you, the Super Bowl crowd is so corporate, like disappointingly corporate. In fact, every Super Bowl I've been to is a quieter NFL game than a home game anywhere else, a week four home game anywhere else.
And maybe that's because people have to be at work at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. And they're kind of like, well, how much do we really want to get wild here? It's Sunday night. If it was on Saturday, maybe people would let their hair down a little more, knowing, hey, we could recover Sunday. Flight's not till 4 p.m. We'll be in bed at 8 o'clock Sunday night. Wake up fresh as a daisy for work on Monday. This is a horrible take. It's an old head take. I get it, but I believe this in my heart. And the minute Vince Carter retired, making it so that I was older than every single NBA player active, I became an old head. That was the minute. That's the only time I ever felt like I'm really getting old in my life. And I said that to Vince Carter, and he was actually mad because he's like, I'm not old. He's like, you might be old. I'm young. He was still dunking in the layup line when I said, the minute you retire, I'm older than every NBA player playing. So I'm an old head.
Okay. I have a similar story to that. So my husband, Sam, was playing in the NBA against Vince Carter, who he just idolized growing up. And they were warming up. And he went over and said to him, he said, hey, VC, you know, big fan. Just so you know, I was born the year you were drafted. You don't like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, if you're driving, listening to this, or if you're on the treadmill or whatever you're doing, your first reaction, I deserve. Now take a second and really think about it and then come back to me on
Twitter. I'm going
to
sleep on it.
Sleep on it.
I'm going to sleep on it.
Take a second.
I'll bring up, I'm sure there's a reason. Again, I'm going to get to the bottom of it, why it's played on a Sunday. Okay, my time to Unleashed. And this one feels a little personal. As someone who has interviewed a lot of athletes, what I do for a living, and I will tell you, it's really, really hard. There's always a lot of buildup to a sit-down interview, especially in training camp, like you see happening right now, you know, in those foldy chairs, and certain networks are allowed some access. Okay, so this one went down in Washington with former Eagles quarterback, current Commander quarterback, Carson Wentz. He had a sit-down with Scott Abraham of 7 News DC, and it got, I mean, painfully awkward. One of the questions was, real talk here, Carson. It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you could be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Okay, brutal. And he did preface it with real talk here, but that doesn't make it better. You know, here's my beef with it, is that people were all over this guy. People were pissed. People thought that was really rude. And you can massage things. You can make things sound a little bit nicer than they are while still getting your point across and asking the tough questions. But my guy here got probably 10 minutes with Carson, 10, 15 minutes, you know, and he's there to bring back his producer great sound bites. And that's what his job is. And I don't want to play it because I think we did last season, but I had a bad interview on the field with Nick Saban at halftime. And halftime interviews are a whole different animal because it's so tight. And, you know, no coach or player wants to talk at halftime. But Alabama was up like 7-3 on Chattanooga. And he finished my first question with an answer of saying, you know, we just have to know what kind of game we're in. And he was pissed. And I'd simply asked as a follow-up, what kind of game are you in? You know, they're playing this lower tier school anyways. And he snaps at me, but it was an incredible soundbite. And if I have to be the whipping boy a little bit, I don't mind. You know, I'm the one there holding the microphone, and that's what you're there for, is to get this great answer. So that's what I want to unleash on, is my man here could have asked it a little bit nicer. It certainly was awkward watching because Carson Wentz looks like confused and not happy with the question, as he shouldn't be. And these athletes, they just have to hear the worst things about themselves all the time. And that's got to get so old. You're in showbiz. You get it. It's like, the world out there is so tough. When you're sitting down face to face with someone who you have given your time to for an interview and they offend you like that, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that this interviewer was so out of line?
I just think of it in a few different ways. It's one, like, if that's the way you want to do your interviews, that's your choice. Good luck getting a lot more interview. And maybe you will. Who knows? Maybe players are like, yeah, sure, I'll talk to that guy. I doubt it if that's kind of going to be the mode of questioning. And also, like, what do you expect Carson Wentz to say there? Like, yeah, I know nobody wanted me. You're right. Like, and it's up to me to work hard and make them want me. Like, he could have said that. Is that a great soundbite? Not real. Like, you don't really, you're not going to get to a different place than you're going to get to either way. Now he just has to say, oh, I didn't really ever think of it like that. But yeah, I know I have to work hard and just do my job. Like, you're still going to get the same kind of answer. So I don't know if he was trying to like get some other kind of reaction. Carson Wentz, from everything I've seen, is a pretty reserved, I don't want to say reserved, but you know, always has his cool in interviews and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So I just don't get it. I don't.
Yeah.
Unless he just said that day, like, I'm just going to ask the hard questions, brutally honest. And anytime you have to say real talk, does that mean everything else you were saying was not real talk? But now we're going to do real talk. This really matters. This is the real, like, real talk.
Yep.
That's kind of the preface of like, I'm going to be a little bit of a dick right now. Real talk.
Yeah. And that's what he was doing. Yeah. He was like trying to be boys with Carson. Anyway, so real talk, Jerry. Let's go ahead and bring in our guests. Let's bring in Le'Veon Bell.
Cannot wait for this. During his NFL career, he's one of the most dynamic running backs in the league. Former NFL All-Pro, played with the Steelers, Jets, Chiefs, Ravens, and Bucks. And now he's traded in the helmet, maybe for some boxing gloves for his debut against Adrian Peterson. Le'Veon Bell, thank you for being here. Very excited to talk to you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So I don't know if you get this feeling, right? It's almost, I used to always get this feeling, like the back to school feeling when fall would kick in. So now we're in like NFL preseason and camp. Like, where does your mind go when you see camp starting up? You're like, I'm kind of happy I don't have to go through camp. Or do you get those feelings again of like, oh yeah, I remember camp?
Yeah, I mean, obviously kind of bittersweet. It's like little mix of both. I'm going through a camp still. Just like a different camp than I'm used to. You know, I'm actually doing boxing camp because I'm preparing for a fight, you know. So it just obviously a little different preparing in the ring, obviously than on the field. But, you know, I watch some little highlights and stuff like that. Do make me miss football a little bit, but I've just been so locked in on boxing, you know. So, you know, that's where my focus has been.
What did you used to do to kind of pass the time in camp? Like, I know you're a gamer. I'm a gamer too, right? I would have definitely taken like my PlayStation. I would have had my whole gaming set up if I had to go to like actual training camp.
That was my thing. Crazy you said that. Call of Duty, Smash Brothers. Those are my games.
How far do you go back with Call of Duty? I go back to like Modern Warfare 1 with the gold cross and prestige mode and all that.
Yeah, I felt like I was playing Call of Duty before, like, it was low-key called Call of Duty. It was called, like, Ghost Recon. It was called, like, Ghost Recon or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was playing Call of Duty way, like, as long as I can remember playing even the PlayStation, like, the regular, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been playing Call of Duty for a minute.
Okay, if you're such a big gamer, obviously right now the Madden ratings are out. Did you ever get really upset with your Madden rating? Why do guys get so upset with their Madden rating?
Yeah, I mean, because when you play a game growing up as a kid the whole time, you kind of, you know, the good players and how you want your speed to be or whatever it is. So when they put you on the game and you feel like you're a certain speed or a certain strength or something, they don't give you what you feel like you is. It's like, oh, dang. Like, you know what I'm saying? You kind of take it personal.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like and there was like a couple years, like 2015, 2016, 2017, I had like a high rating, like 96 or whatever it was. And I was happy with that. You know what I'm saying? I remember I was upset. The only year I was kind of upset was like my rookie year, but I was a rookie. So it's like, can't really be that upset.
They're always hard on rookies in Madden. They're always hard with the rookie ratings. Always.
Right. I was so upset with my rookie rating at first. Like, I'm like, damn, I think I was like a 71 or so, or like 72 or something. Yeah, I was low. Then year two, I had that breakout year. Then the next man, I was like a 96 or something. Like, that's literally what happened.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, you're training for boxing. Like, I obviously love boxing. And is boxing something you did kind of growing up? I'm obsessed with, like, athletes who obviously, like, I came up with, like, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, like, guys playing multiple sports. I don't think we'll ever see that on a professional level again because, you got to focus your energy on like one sport really hard. But what is your kind of boxing background? You come up boxing, or is this something that you're just kind of getting into now?
Yeah, I mean, I always, my uncles like always watched it. So I kind of like always watched it, always been a fan of it. I start incorporating boxing as a football workout. So like, you know, I started doing like my football training and on my on field stuff. And then like in 2016-ish, I think, I started doing some boxing just to help with like cardio, you know, just extra conditioning. And then over a while, as I kept doing it, I just started kind of liking it. You know, I started liking it more and more, start falling in love with it. You know what I'm saying? Start getting a little more serious about it. It's crazy. Now I look up and it's like, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? But I think it kind of started in like 2016 when I started for a football workout. That's kind of like when it started for me.
Now we're talking about this fight coming up with Adrian Peterson. Now, my first question is, what did AP ever do to you? Don't you running backs kind of stick together like a fraternity? What's going on?
Yeah. AP never did anything to me. You know, I feel like, okay. I feel like this is like a decision I had made. Last year I kind of was torn before I signed with Tampa to kind of like just focus all in on boxing. But I had the mm-hmm. opportunity to go play with Terrific Tom. So I'm like, all right, I'm about to go play with Tom Brady. I'm about to go try to, you know, win a ring. You know what I'm saying? It didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but you know, I took the opportunity, that chance. But like this year, I feel like I just got to like hone in on boxing. You know what I'm saying? And I've been trying to find opponents. Like, you know, earlier in the year, I was trying to find opponents because I already knew I was going to get in the ring. I was just trying to find somebody who made sense for me. It'd be a good first fight. And obviously somebody with a background, like who does some boxing, who's a good athlete or something like that. Because I didn't want my first fight to necessarily be like a boxer in a sense. So I think once I already was signed up for the event and I already knew I was doing the event, finding an opponent was my next thing. And I think, you know, AP's people wanted to do the event. They reached out to AP's people. AP wanted to do it, you know what I'm saying? So, and I think, like, you know, it was a couple opponents on the table, but I think AP made the most sense just because of the fact that, like, you know, he's an NFL running back. You know, he hasn't had any fights either. So we both brought the same size. So it's like, why not? You know what I'm saying? I thought it kind of made sense. He wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. So it's like, all right, it's going to be fun.
Now, I know it got postponed, but what's the latest now? Have you guys set a date?
Yeah, so it just got announced yesterday, the fight day, September 10th.
All right.
New fight day, September 10th. So I got about 3.5 weeks, you know, get more prep. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's been bittersweet that it got postponed. Like, it's like, dang, it's hard to kind of like get hyped for the fight the whole time. Then like 2 weeks before the fight, it's like, you can't do it. So then it's like, I'm back to training. But it's kind of good that I just get to keep training, keep getting better. You know, making sure I'm prepared when I get in the ring.
Yeah. You know, Sunday's the first NFL Sunday of the year. So our first NFL headlines, though, could be a Le'Veon Bell victory.
Right.
I don't know if you go knockout. Look, I have respect for anyone who ever even attempts boxing. Like, what do you find the difference? You know, because obviously you've played a team sport on the highest level. Boxing, I mean, there's a team because you have trainers and you have a team of people. But once you're in there, you know, it really is one-on-one.
It's really all you.
Yeah. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of it's one of the biggest differences. I ain't gonna say it's the biggest, but it's one of the biggest differences because, like, in football, there's a lot of times where you necessarily don't have to be in your best shape or, like, you don't have to be healthy, like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like a team. So, like, you don't, or even to be good, you know what I'm saying? Even to be good, you got to depend on so many other people. Like, you got to depend on the line to block for you. You got to depend on the quarterback to throw you the ball or the coach to call a play for you. Versus like boxing is kind of like your teamwork is kind of like all before you get in the ring. It's like before the game, technically, like before the match. Because like once the match start, it's like, all right, now it's just you. In football, once you do all your team work during the week, you're doing the practice, you're doing in meetings, you're doing in the game versus boxing, it's like you do all your teamwork. And then once you hit a match, it's like you're just literally alone by yourself. And everything that's been taught, all your training and the way your body is, whatever, it just prep for that match and you by yourself. You know what I'm saying? And I think that was the biggest difference for me in understanding that, and which is good for me because I always kind of felt like I was one of the most skilled and most conditioned athletes, you know, in football. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. It was a team sport. And I got a lot of help doing what I was able to do. But at the same time, I was like still like I worked hard and I was able to be, you know, handle the ball how many times they wanted to give me the ball or be in shape or strong or as fast as they needed me to be and or whatever position they need me to play because I was just skilled. So I feel like it helps translate in boxing. And this can be like the sport I get to show like a lot of people that I'm by myself and how far I can take it by myself.
So Do you see, are there already, I don't want to look past AP. We should never look past Adrian Peterson, right? Just like I wouldn't look past you. But you come out with the victory. Do you already have other guys in your mind that you, like, do you kind of have the route where, like, I'd love to go up this guy, or are you just going one at a time, which is a very smart thing in boxing?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously with certain guys like KSI and Jake Paul.
Sure.
Those two guys
are
definitely guys that's like on my hit list, I guess. But in a sense, like right now, my focus has all been on AP. You know what I'm saying? I think, like I said, it's going to be a good first opponent for me. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he's not as experienced. I'm not as experienced. He's an athlete. You know what I'm saying? He's been the highest level athlete in the NFL. So have I. You know what I'm saying? So now it's going to be about skills. You know what I'm saying? Because we both translate, you know what I'm saying, like boxing-wise, like it wasn't our sport at first. You know what I'm saying?
So, there's no tape. There's no tape on you guys. There's no tape.
You know what I'm saying? So it's literally like, you know what I'm saying, people kind of like picking a fight over how we run the ball, like, which is interesting to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are like, oh, I feel like AP going, you know, saying he's so powerful and explosive, he going to come forward, body. I feel like you're, like, patient and you're, like, you know, manipulative. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and that's kind of like my style of boxing, which is crazy. And you know, and AP posted a clip and it was like, he looked like one of those styles that he, like, was powerful and explosive. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know, it's going to be so fun. Yeah. It's going to be so fun to watch.
I can't wait.
I just plan on putting on the show. You know what I'm saying? I'm just showing people how skilled I am in boxing, how hard and how seriously I took it.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Jake Paul. Didn't you originally call out Jake Paul? Did he duck you? What happened there?
I'm done calling out Jake Paul. I feel like I've been calling him out so many times. At this point, I feel like I'm a bully. I feel like I'm bullying him, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be a bully. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if he don't want to fight me, it's like, all right, whatever, bro. Like, I just thought he was one of those guys who really wanted, like, the challenge and, like, really fight people. Which I thought that's what he was about to do with Haseem Rahman, but that ended up, whatever happened. I don't even know, whatever. But yeah, so it's like, if you want a real fight, if you want like somebody with some skill, whatever, which maybe he don't even know because nobody's seen me yet. So right now, I'm just all talk. Like right now, people just kind of looking at me like, oh, Le'Veon, just talking or whatever. But it's like, once September 10th come, I wish it would happen on the 30th already because then everything would make sense.
Yeah.
But once September 10th come, people will see. And then I feel like, the people going to be asking for that fight. And at that point, it's going to be on him. Like, because I'll be ready. Yeah. I'll be ready to do the fight whenever he want to do it. So it will be up to him at that point.
I got another idea for you. And it's someone else who's been on our show. And you got to do this for the whole NFL. You got to carry the NFL on your back. Because Darren Williams beat Frank Gore in his first ever fight. Yeah. We had Darren on the show. He was feeling pretty confident. I think he said he's one and done. He doesn't want to do it again.
Right.
The NFL needs a win here. Would you fight Darren if he would do it? We could make a call.
Hell yeah, I fight Darren. Hell yeah.
I got my money on you.
He did beat Frank. Like, so it's like, yeah, that fight almost kind of happened. That fight almost happened. It was so close. Like, but yeah, it was like AP. But yeah, the Darren Williams fight almost happened. And that fight probably still could happen. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to fight people with losses. If they got wins, I'll fight them. Like, I just want to fight people with wins. I don't want to fight people with no losses. Like, straight up, I want to take people. I want to be the one to put the L in their column. Like, I want to be the guy to do that.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. You know, you're getting me hyped for this fight. Like, I love fights and stuff, and I watch them all. But like, I gotta see it. You're right. There's no tape, no workout video, like a few here and there, but there's no like real like sparring set. You got me so. You really just sold me big time.
I seen AP post a clip. It's like, oh man, I don't want to post it because you see people post their boxing stuff all the time. It's like. In football, that's another difference too. In football, when I'm training, it's like I post all my clips. Like I just send everything out. Like boom, I want everybody to know what I'm doing. But in boxing, it's more like ain't nobody seen me, so I don't even want nobody to know how I look.
Yeah, don't do
I
it.
I don't want nobody.
Don't
know
do it.
How far I can go? Like what? Like, I don't want nobody to even see how I look. Like because it's like y'all gonna see the 10th, and then when the 10th come, once the cat's out the bag, it's like out the bag. But yeah, I want to surprise people on the 10th. Like,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, you know, you did post something a few weeks ago. I thought, you know, it was a real honest post on your IG talking about like this next chapter in your life. And, you know, you said how you wish things would have played out differently in 2018 if you had a time machine and all that. And I always think about stuff like that. Like, what if I could go back? What more so like, what do I wish I could have done differently? You know, what exactly, just explain a little bit, you know, what would you like to have been exactly different or, you know, how would you have done something differently if you could? You know, I know you went into it, but I thought that was a very interesting post.
Yeah, I feel like just in 2018, it was just like so much going on, not even just with football, because like that post was like, a lot of people kind of took it from me sitting out of 2018, the franchise tag year.
Yeah.
Which that was obviously like, that's what everybody knows about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's thinking it's about that, which
yep.
A little bit it was about that. Like, well, I mean, a lot of that year was about that, but it was just so much going on off the field too. And that I made maybe, I wouldn't say the wrong decision, because it's like, there's decisions that I made that made me who I am today. And I'm glad that I made those decisions because I learned from them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's like things that if I never did it, then I would never learn from. And I think that kind of made me, you know, a better father, a better person, a better man, a better athlete. You know what I'm saying? Just a sense. Like, so, I mean, there's not anything specifically that I can really, because that's why that post could have been forever. I could have been making that post forever.
Right.
But it's just so hard to talk about everything that went on in that year. But obviously, people, majority talking about the franchise tag year. And I'm not sitting here saying I would change. If I had a time machine, I would go back and play. Like, I just think there's different ways I would have went about it. Because, you know, obviously, at the end of the day, in 2018, everybody just wanted to see me play football. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody just wanted to see me play.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a sense, like, don't get me wrong, I wanted to play football, but my mindset, like, I had something else, like, I was on a different mission. Like, I had something else set out to prove, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, like, certain things was getting in the way of that, you know what I'm saying? So, it turned out the way it turned out, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, everything happens for a reason. So, I think I'm here today because, you know, whatever happened in 2018 or 14 or whatever it was, you know, all the decisions I made me the person I am today. And I couldn't go back and change anything. I wouldn't go back and change anything because I'm proud of who I am today.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you have no regrets, which is great. But if you did have a regret, would it be that you couldn't watch yourself play, you know, kind of like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rock?
Hey, be crazy. Hey, be funny. Hey, I love AB, bro. AB funny. But look, that's the thing about it. AB gets such a bad rap. He gets such a bad rap. And like, he's like one of my closest friends. Like, he's so funny because he just like, he just knows like, I don't know. He knows how to like just get the people to gravitate to him in a sense, like, cause he's funny. He just like so funny, and I don't even think he's like tries to be funny. Like, I don't think he's like necessarily trying to be a joke guy. You know what I'm saying? But he like saying how he feel, and it's like some people be like, man, I can't believe he said that. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like some people will just think it. Some people will just think it, and you know what I'm saying, keep it to themselves. He like one of the people who are thinking, but I'll just say it too. Like, I'll actually say it. That's like what the difference is. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, so some people are like, man, like, yeah, his filter is not, you know what I'm saying? His filter not like everybody else's filter, but I love AB to death, man. Don't get me wrong.
Would you ever fight him? I mean, I think that fight would sell out in Pittsburgh.
AB wouldn't fight me, though. AB wouldn't fight me. Of course, like, I spar my friends all the time. I can fight people and still be friends with them. Like, I have no problem. Yeah, I have no problem with that. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, it's a sport. It's a sport. I'm not mad at you when I'm fighting you. Like, when I go in there, when I go in the ring and fight AP, I'm not mad at him. I'm just gonna have to handle my business. I'm gonna have to go out and do what I gotta do, but I'm not mad at him. Just, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Yeah. This kill list is getting long.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm saying your list? That's what I'm saying.
Kill list. Yeah. Another name.
And your friends know, like, no video. Don't post no video, right? Yeah, they know not to take the camera out and post,
right? It'd be like, it's been like a couple small 4 second clips on like people's close friends or something. Like, bro, all right, if you post that, just post on your close friends and don't post nothing else. Like, it'd be like that. Like, I'd be trying to keep it under wraps. Like, I don't want nobody to see nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Have you gotten like farther enough along where like, you know, like entrance music and stuff like that, or you haven't gotten to that point yet? Not yet.
Nah, I was actually, it's crazy you said that when we were talking about AB, because I was actually thinking about AB walking me out.
Oh, you are a boxer, man. You're a showman. That's a show, right? You're ready.
You know what I'm saying? Fantastic. That'd be fire, right? Wouldn't that be fire?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, that way.
I was like, I was thinking about that.
Twitter will light up with that. We'll light up with that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was talking to him about that. So it's like, we setting all that up. It's crazy you bring that up. Yeah, like, see, you already know.
I'm a fight fan, so like for me, the fight begins the minute they show like the fighters walking out. Like the fight has begun in my mind. Like you're walking out, you're saying something when you're walking out. So like I always like I'm all about the intros. I'm locked in from the moment you step
out.
I want to know what music. I want to know who you're walking out with. I want to see your face. Like I love all that stuff.
Yeah, I gotta think of like the full like. What I want to come out in. I know what colors. I don't want to spoil it, but like, I don't know exactly what I want to wear.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, take your time with that. Take your time.
You know what I'm saying?
Jerry, what colors do you expect? Let's brainstorm a little.
I mean, I have some ideas what you might wear, but I don't know.
I don't think y'all gonna guess it.
I don't spoil nothing. I think you're gonna surprise. I think whatever we all think you may do, I think you are gonna surprise. Like, I think you're maybe gonna not do what everyone might think, you know? So, man, you sold the hell out of this. I cannot wait for this.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm so fired up. I wish it was tonight. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm telling you, bro. Like, and then after this first one, then people gonna really want to watch me fight because they're going to see me like, because they'll know. It ain't just me talking about it. It's like, I'm just talking about it, but I'm not one of those guys who just talking. It's not like not backing it up. Like, I'm going back up everything I'm saying. I'm not going to just get on here and just say something I don't believe. I'm not getting in that ring not believing this. Like, straight up, you know what I'm saying? I know exactly what I'm getting into. And I feel like, yeah, like I'm just one of those guys in the ring. I feel like I'm to the level where it's like, yeah, I'm just ready to show it. I can't even explain it. Just, I gotta show it. That's all it is.
Cannot wait.
Oh, yeah. Hey, back to football for a minute. You've gotten a chance to play with some of the best quarterbacks of this era. Tom Brady, you mentioned earlier, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Big Ben. Kind of big picture, how were they similar? Like, what makes those names so elite?
Similar? Man, it's crazy because they're all so different. But it's like...
Okay, then tell me that.
Similarities, obviously, they all kind of like got leadership qualities about them, but they all lead in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Ben wasn't really a rah-rah guy. Like, he talked to the team, but he wasn't like a guy who like... who gave like a lot of hype speeches. He would every now and then though. He would step in every now and then. Patrick Mahomes is more like a hot rah-rah guy. He more like the hype guy. Like he try to get the team hype. Lamar quiet. Lamar don't really say anything. Like Lamar is kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like he let everybody else get hype. You know, Lamar is kind of in his own zone. And who else would have said? Tom is a rah-rah guy. Tom gonna get you hype. Like Tom a guy who gonna be in the huddle.
Yeah.
And Tom is like more the, he more like obsessed. Like Tom is like obsessed with football. That's why he's like got six rings, like or seven. That's why seven, right? Seven.
We can't even keep counting. That's not how we don't even know how many rings he actually has.
That's why he has seven rings because he's obsessed with football. That's one thing I would say about Tom. The moment I got to Tampa, he kind of struck me different than all the other quarterbacks that I played with, just because like how like obsessed with it. Like even when we're out of the meeting, so we leave meetings. And we're free. Like, as a player, it's like, okay, we got free time. Like, we might have, you know, an hour here or whatever. Tom is hosting his own meetings. Like, Tom got the linemen. He have his linemen separate. You know, he'll meet with the linemen. Then the linemen and the running backs meet. We have this is the only running back or the only quarterback I've ever played with who sat in, like, team run meetings. So, like, we're running the ball. We're only talking about run plays. That's it. And Tom is sitting in the meeting, running the meeting. You know what I'm saying?
For incredible.
Plays, you know what I'm saying? Because he wanted to make sure everybody know who everybody blocking on run plays. You know what I'm saying? That's how different he was. He was like obsessed with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I never heard that.
You know what I'm saying? Versus like quarterbacks, they kind of just do their job. Like, all right, they be in the quarterback meetings and, you know, 707s and be with the wide outs and the tight ends and stuff. That's fine. Tom does all that, but he does that extra too. Like the extra, like, all right, we're on the field and the time the offense is not on the field, it's supposed to be a rest. We walking through like, blitz pickup or, you know what I'm saying, walk through routes or whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? He, like, is obsessed with it. And that's what made him that's why that little taste I got with Tom, like, that half a year that I got to play with him made me understand, like, oh, yeah, you got to be obsessed with what you're doing. That's why he's so great at it. You know what I'm saying? That's why you're the GOAT.
Hey, you mentioned Lamar Jackson, too, and that he's so serious. What's your take on him fighting for this contract right now? If you were him, would you not play until pen meets paper?
Yeah, I feel like
He's going to get paid.
You know what's crazy? I don't know exactly. I'm not really all caught up with I just know he hasn't got paid. So I know, like, Kyler Murray got paid. I don't know all the numbers and stuff. Like, I don't even know, like, you know what I'm saying, whatever, all that. But, like, Lamar definitely won. He, whatever he's asking for, I don't know, he deserves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this would be the problem, because it's like, why is so much backlash, or why is he not getting what he deserves?
Yeah.
Because for the Ravens, think about the Ravens. If you think about the Ravens, you're definitely thinking about Lamar. So it's like,
First and foremost,
the team's fight back is always, oh, what if you get injured, or we got to protect it because you're running? Or, but it's like, yeah, like, but that's what makes me Lamar. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's what makes me Lamar.
And separates me. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Lamar, outside of last year, before last year, he didn't get injured. Like, he like runs, he don't get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he had a little ankle last year or something, but like, you know what I'm saying? It's football. Injuries gonna happen. You can be Tom. Tom Brady got hurt. You know what I'm saying? He don't run the ball for real. Like, so it just, I don't know. They try to find like little like reasons not to pay you. And I feel like with Lamar, I kind of knew this was gonna happen in a sense, because he's so different. He's basically, he's not a running back. He's not a running back. I'm not gonna say that. But he's like a skill wise, he can run as good as a running back.
Right.
Yeah.
He could be, if he wanted to be, he could have been.
You know what I'm saying? Like, skill-wise, like, yeah, I can run the ball like a running back. You know what I'm saying? But he plays quarterback. He plays the position quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. I just knew it was going to be a problem with this. But me, if I'm the guy handing out the money for the Ravens, me, I'm paying Lamar Jackson what he wants, because he deserves that.
Yeah, me too.
There should be no fight. Kyler Murray should be no fight, yes. There should be no fight, yes. Patrick Mahomes wasn't no fight. And, like, those guys that you know, like, these are their guys. Like, you shouldn't be no fight about it.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right. Is he disadvantaged representing himself? What's your take on players not having agents?
I didn't know. He don't have an agent? I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
He doesn't. His mom does some negotiating for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a disadvantage, no.
Okay.
Like, okay. I guess lawyers may know, like, little, like, I don't know, fine line details and, like, the way to talk. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, Lamar know like numbers, like what he want per year, and like how much guaranteed money, and like he know like the simple, like all right, the legit of it. You know what I'm saying? And then you can always hire somebody on the side to like look over like whatever little fine that you're gonna get.
Yeah.
But like him, like I think Richard Sherman made that like popular. You know what I'm saying? Richard Sherman was like one of the guys who like made that popular. Yeah. I like that. I like guys kind of representing themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that idea. Yep.
Gotta save like your money. Idea.
You can negotiate your own contract. Why not? I wish I would have did that.
Yeah, just have a lawyer.
Right now, I'm just playing.
Hey, yes, but, think of all the money.
Hey, but that, hey, I'm just saying, like, if I would have did that, though, hey, I don't know what I would have did.
I can tell you one thing. Yeah, my mom thinks I'm worth all the money in the world. So if he's got his mom do it, you know he's not going to undersell. You know she's not going to undersell her son. There's no one better, you know?
Right. Now, my agent did everything I was telling him to do. So it's like, I wasn't, like, talking to him. I feel like if I was talking to him, the way I would have said stuff, it came off different.
Right.
I'm like, in a sense, like, dang, if I would have represented myself, maybe things would have turned out different. Or maybe if I'm even hearing the conversation. But it's like, none of that was happening. So it is what it is at this time.
Do you mean by that maybe taking the Steelers offer instead of going to the Jets?
I mean, like, no, I wasn't saying that. I was just saying, like.
Okay.
Yeah, or like, yeah, maybe out, yeah. Or maybe they would have offered me something different. You know what I'm saying? It may have been easier to accept. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just wasn't hearing the conversations for real. Mm. So, like, I wasn't really, I just was saying, oh, this is what I want. Blase, they come back or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But it was like, I was just hearing the conversation, like, on the outside. I wasn't really a part of the you know what I'm saying, the conversation.
Yeah.
If I didn't have the agent, that's like Lamar, I feel like, yeah, like he's doing all the stuff, like talking himself, basically telling him on himself, like direct. You know what I'm saying? When they hear you directly, I feel like it's different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
I could never do anything for myself like that. I'm way too emotional to be. I'm just too emotional. I would tip my hand right away. Be like, wait, you said what? That's no. I would be way too emotional to speak on my own behalf. I just know myself.
They're trying to have you like that, though. That's literally what it happens. Like, that's why they ain't want me on the call, because they knew I would get upset, or maybe they'd say,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, you're right, though. That's right. Saving me for myself.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, last thing for me, you training tomorrow? What's a day like? Are you road work in the morning, or are you training every day?
Yeah, I train every day. Usually a tomorrow conditioning day. So, I'll probably do like a hike or something. Like a couple of miles, like 4 or 5 miles. Then I hit the gym.
Oh, wow.
Then I'll probably go like to Pilates. Cause I do like either, I'll try to squeeze like Pilates or like a hot yoga or stretch. Cause that's like I don't know, boxing is so much different than football in the sense of, like, I feel like every part of my body got to be free. Like, it got to be loose. Like, if football was, like, kind of tense, you can be tense because it's, like, more like, you know what I'm saying?
Boxing, you're bracing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like you bracing up, you know what I'm saying? Boxing, you got to be, like, a little more freer. So I've been doing so much stretching and yoga and Pilates. It's like, bruh. But I feel good. I wish I knew about this, like, when I was playing football because it would have helped me in football. But, yeah, it's like, I feel good. So, yeah, tomorrow, that's probably how my day would be. Like, in the morning, usually in the morning before it get too hot, I'll probably get up at, like, 6, 7 a.m., go hike, do, like, 4 or 5 miles, then hit the gym right after. Then after the gym, I'll go to Pilates. Then after Pilates, either I got my second workout at the gym or I'll do, like, my yoga stretch or whatever it may be, like, my second little part I may do. But, like, my days kind of, like, intertwine and they all kind of switch. But that's what my tomorrow look like.
All right, true last thing for me. Boy, sorry, Olivia, and I'm done. Yeah. I'm going to shut up.
No, you're good. You're good. Okay. You're good.
Because you mentioned, like, West Coast. I think you're on the West. Like, I'm always obsessed with when, you know, a lot of us fans watching football. It's like, oh, you're on the Steelers going to the West Coast, time different. Does any of that matter with you guys? Like, oh, we're on the red eye. We're going to the West Coast. We're playing the 4 o'clock. Does that really ever factor in for you, the players? We all think it does. Or are we just making something out of nothing? Or West Coast going East?
That's what I'm saying. So it's a team sport. So, like, for me, it didn't bother me. It did not bother me. But it would be certain teammates, they'd be like, bro, man, I hate, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they couldn't, like if we went from, like, Pittsburgh to, like, Vegas or something, like, they would hate that, like, oh, dang, bro, I'm going to be up all night, bro, because, or I'm going to get up too early. I'm going to wake up too early, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, the time difference or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it didn't bother me, you know what I'm saying? Because so if we played at if a 1 p.m. game would be in, like, in Cleveland or something, right? If we played in Vegas, we'd just play it at, like, 11.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, it wouldn't necessarily bother me as much. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, all right, it is what it is.
Yeah,
but the time would be different over there, though. The time is, say, 12 or whatever, but my body it felt like it's 10, and it wouldn't bother me. Yeah. But some people hated it, so it's like, I don't know. But me personally, it didn't bother me.
Le'Veon, I was going to say, boy, you came a long way from East Lansing. Now you're a yuppie Los Angelian. You're doing Pilates and hiking Runyon Canyon with a bunch of girls in crop tops and what, eating acai bowls out there too. This ain't the Spartans. You're vegan. Oh, please.
It's like the 30-year-old me. If I was talking to the 20-year-old me, man, I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, I got so much to tell you.
Listen, no one who's done yoga and Pilates has ever been like, I don't really, it doesn't do nothing. Everyone who's tried it always sticks with it. It's the people who don't ever try it, like, ah, I don't do that stuff. People I know who've, like, done it and I've done it, like, you're never like, oh, that doesn't help. It always helps. That helps a lot. Boy. So,
oh, bro.
No, good for you, man. Good for you. And let me tell you, I'm 42. All that stuff is good. As you get older, that's the stuff that's going to really keep you, you know, feeling good, man. Good for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, listen, man, you got me high. I'm not. I seriously, like, I am now on the countdown for the, you get, like, the perfect thing to do the night before football on Sunday. Like, I just can't wait. You sold me, man. I'm in. I am in on this fight. I can't wait. I'm excited for you.
Definitely make sure you tune in because I'm a definitely put on the show. That's what I'm. That's my mission. I'm putting on a show for people who want to see me get knocked out. I'm putting on a show for people who support me and obviously know how hard I work. I want to put on a show for them too.
Well, I think our whole audience will be supporting you now too, as well as us. Le'Veon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate y'all having me. Thank you.
Okay, well, that was a ton of fun with Le'Veon. Thanks so much for joining us. And now, as promised, we are going to go through the NFC because last week we did the AFC. If you missed it, go back, listen. There's some hot takes in there, a lot of hot takes. But now it's all NFC, which, as I mentioned earlier, means a little bit more because both Jerry and I have our teams in this division and they even play each other in October in London. So it's going to have a lot of fun for us leading up to that one. Okay, Jerry, NFC East, want to start there?
Why not start there? I don't know if you watch the show Stranger Things. I know you're watching Entourage. If you don't, it's fine. I'm sure a lot of the listeners do. The NFC East is the upside down. And if you watch the show, you will know what that means. It's another dimension where it looks the same, but everything's crazy. There's Demogorgons and bats and, like, you never know what's going to happen in the upside down. That is what the NFC East is. It is so much fun. Your team is truly never out of it. Do you want to dive in with the Cowboys? I know you said earlier you might not be as confident in the Cowboys this year. 10.5 wins. What are you feeling on the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, yeah, and they're the favorite to win the division at plus 140. Your Giants, by the way, all the way back there at plus 750. Just wanted to
make you nice and aware. I'm very aware.
Look, Cowboys had a rough offseason, I think. You know, trading away Amari Cooper leaves some question marks at the wide receiver position, and I just don't know if that preseason game gave us anything to feel good about. 17 penalties for 129 yards. And last year, they led the NFL in penalties. So people are calling for Mike McCarthy's head. They seem undisciplined. You know, it's not good. Like I mentioned, CeeDee Lamb will be the number one receiver. And he just had one catch in their playoff game against San Francisco, their last game of the season. Just one catch. And now that's their top wide receiver. So I don't know. I think you kind of look at, well, Ezekiel Elliott will have to carry this team, and Tony Pollard, who's a much cheaper, better value Zeke Elliott, was fantastic last year and is expected to be so again. So I don't know. Cowboys to me have a lot of question marks. I don't know if you saw this too. They're valued, this is totally off the field, but they're valued at $7.64 billion. They're the most valuable team in sports. I mean, that's wild. But apart from that, apart from Jerry Jones being a very rich man, I think he's going to have another headache of a season. What do you think?
You know, I think they'll be okay. I don't think I would bet the plus 140 to win the division because, again, it's the upside down. But I am a little like 10.5 win total. Yeah, I know. And I know they beat that last year. I don't know if I see them winning 11, 12 games. I could see them winning 9 or 10. So I think it's like right on the line, but I'm definitely going under on that. And they always kind of stumble at some point and lose some games, potentially to the Texans in week 14, mm-hmm. that you're like, what just happened? We're supposed to win this division. So yeah, I'm out on the Cowboys, but also it's really hard for me to say positive things about the Cowboys. Really hard. Being a Giant fan, it's really hard for me to say, but they're good. I think maybe 9 or 10 wins is a softer landing spot. So I would not take the over at all.
Okay. You know, let's dig into your Giants we're here. I know I was giving you a hard time. Obviously, they have a new coach, Brian Daboll. They had two top 10 picks in this year's draft, Kayvon Thibodeau and an offensive tackle, Evan Neal from Alabama. So yeah, let's just dig into your quarterback, Daniel Jones, for a minute. He had 36 fumbles in 38 games. And guess what their record is when he's starting games? 12-25. So obviously you can blame a lot of that on his O-line last year. Horrible. They looked horrible in the preseason opener against the Patriots. And you know who really concerns me, who was supposed to be a great target for Jones, a great playmaker for the Giants, is your wide receiver, Kenny Golladay. He's just been a disappointment. He had zero touchdowns last year. And in that preseason game against the Patriots, which I don't know if you watch, I don't know how much you care about the preseason, but he had a bunch of red zone drops. So I'm down on Kenny Golladay. I'm down on their O-line again. And I am just never that optimistic with the ball in Daniel Jones' hands.
So it's kind of like the pole. That's why I say it's the upside down. It's like the polar opposite of like the Tua situation, right? They're both entering year three. Mm. And with Daniel Jones, it's very much, well, he just hasn't been healthy and he hasn't had an offensive line. This is the year we really need to see it from him if he's the guy, or else we got to get off him and move on. And they've never quite put him in that position to show it. And he keeps getting like another year. It's all okay. With Tua, it's very much like, you're going to do this year. Like, you got it. We have a great offense for you. You got quarterbacks, coaches. Oh, yeah. Like, this is the year. If you don't do it, we're probably out. Daniel Jones has had, for some reason, a lot more leeway. I do actually think that, yeah, look, the fumbles and the turnovers that's his thing. Like, he has to cure that or else it's not going to work out. If he does cure that, he is effective. He was making a lot of plays with his legs till he had that like back neck hamstring injury. But when I just talk about the over under 6.5 on wins, right? Look, I love what they did with coach, coordinators, everything. Massive upgrade. I don't think we're going to be running quarterback sneaks and handoffs on 3rd and 12 anymore. I think we're actually going to have an offense. Yes, the Kenny Golladay stuff, but Daniel Jones he was hurt last year. I don't fully blame him. However, too, on the 6.5, tell me if you see the path to 7 wins for the over. Now they play the Texans. They play the Jags. They play the Lions. we do play your Packers. And now look, probably we'll lose to the Packers, but it's not in Lambeau. I like my odds 10% more that it's in London where the Giants play. So we don't have to go into Lambeau at all. And then we get the Commanders twice. Maybe we steal one from the Eagles and Cowboys. Those are always like dogfights. So I love, love, love. And that you could call the homer pick, sure. Love the Giants over 6.5 wins. Don't love, obviously, the division. I mean, I don't know if I feel comfortable on the plus 750 to win the division, but I love the over on the win total because I think the rookies, the coaches, and maybe a healthy Danny Jones, and also Saquon. Can Saquon stay healthy and be an impact player on this team? I think that's a layup for over on the 6.5 win total.
Okay. Okay, so that you're going to ride that one heavy all year. I'm going to keep tabs. Yeah, no, I like it. I like it. Like you mentioned, there are some sneaky wins in there that I can see for sure. Okay, with the Eagles and Commanders, just to round out the division, let's see, Eagles, 9.5 wins, Commanders, 7.5 wins. I mentioned the awkward Carson Wentz interview. Carson Wentz has his work cut out for him. This is going to be a tough year. They're trying to figure out their identity. I don't know, a team who doesn't even know their own name. What do you think of the Commander's name?
It definitely is going to take some getting used to, for sure. It still is just, I still will just call them Washington. But, you know, for those two teams, you know, if I'm kind of fading the Cowboys on the under and kind of riding the Giants, and I kind of do the same thing with the Eagles, and I do like the Eagles over 9.5 wins, you know, Jalen Hurts really has to kind of perform, but he has the wide receivers now. Hopefully Miles Sanders is healthy. The Commanders, yeah, I'm just, I'm sorry, 7. I don't see 8 wins. I just don't see it. They always surprise us. They always hang around and steal a wild card or a division win. They stumbled into the division at 7-9 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. So I go over on the Eagles win total, and I would throw the plus 160 on the division. If I'm fading the Cowboys, I kind of hand it to the Eagles, which pains me to say.
Okay. Okay, you know, I think I'm going to agree as well. I think I'm liking the Eagles to win the division. Okay, let's go to the NFC North. This is where things get a little prickly. I'm not going to start with the Packers. I'm going to start with the Lions because I'm loving Hard Knocks so much. Have you watched it yet?
Of course. And I just will say, all the Hard Knocks feelings that make you emotional, it never really quite works out. So just be careful of the Hard Knocks emotions that you feel and just being like, Lions are going to win 9 games.
You're so right.
Tread with caution with the Hard Knocks thing. I do love it, though.
No, you're so right. You know what I love about the Lions? So their number 2 overall pick, who, you know, was, everyone didn't know if he'd go first overall to Jacksonville, and he ended up going to his home team, which is the Lions. Aiden Hutchinson played at Michigan. He's from Michigan. Great story. His sister, by the way, won Miss Michigan USA like right after he was drafted. So this is just an all-star family. So that's a lot of fun to watch. The Lions are plus 850 to win the division. So not very good odds there. And 6.5 wins. I mean, look, there's a lot of hype around this gritty, you know, Dan Campbell, just the word grit just keeps coming to mind. And their O-line's much improved. I don't know. I can see maybe 7 wins. I don't think that's a crazy bet.
Yeah. If the O-line and the young players that they have show up, I definitely see the path, but it might just be the historic, maybe it's under 6.5, but they just cover a lot more games. You know, they were kind of the kings of like the backdoor cover, you know, they would just be down 17. It's like, all right, this is locked. And then somehow they'd like lose a heartbreaker. I remember like they actually left a lot of wins on the field last year of games they could have stolen. So it's really hard to have any sort of a feel, because if they close out some of those wins, like, yeah, I could absolutely see 7 wins with the Lions, but it's almost like a stay away from you, but going to have a lot of fun watching because they're so young and, you know, the Goff of it all. So I kind of stay away, but could we bypass the Bears? I want to get to your Packers. The Bears, love Justin Fields. That offensive line, very, very worried. You know, they lose Allen Robinson, which I used to do segment after segment when I was big into fantasy football of Allen Robinson deserves a quarterback more than any other receiver.
Oh, and did he get
in
one?
The NFL? Yeah. You know, I did one segment a year about look at what this guy's numbers are without really a, you know, top even 12 quarterback. So, you know, I would have loved to have seen him in Fields, though. Would have been fun because I do like Fields a lot. But I just worry about the line, you know, with the Bears. And are they going to give him time, and or is it going to be he's just running for his life?
Oh, the line's horrible. And the line looked back. Look, it's looking bad already in the preseason. I mean, they're not improved at all. And remember in Justin Fields' first start last year, he was sacked nine times. I mean, I'm with you. I'm not
Derek Carr
on Justin Fields.
With like the most all-time sack quarterback.
He has no chance.
Or David Carr.
And then even on the defensive side, Roquan Smith, the linebacker, is trying to leave. I mean, it's a very Cleveland situation where players are all requesting trades. Yeah. But anyway, let's go to the Vikings because I think they are the stiffest competition to the Packers. They have a new head coach, Kevin O'Connell, who I think can really unleash something here. Unleash, branded. I think they were held back by Mike Zimmer. And Kirk Cousins is steady at the helm. You know, no one lost more close games last year than the Vikings. They seem to, you know, win games they weren't supposed to and lose games they weren't supposed to. And I don't know, defensively, they get Za'Darius Smith from Green Bay. I will miss him. I think he's going to be great in Minnesota. And they're kind of this perpetual wild card contender, but a lot of people are saying they might be the most improved team in the NFL this season. Do you think so?
I really do. I think, and you know, I like Zimmer as a coach, but they're always, again, we talked about teams stumbling. They probably stumbled more than anyone. I mean, that offense has been loaded for years now. Dalvin Cook, if healthy, is one of the best backs I think I've ever seen. The problem is he just gets hurt because like 80 guys wrap him up because that's how hard he is to tackle. This is who I would be the most worried about as a Packer fan. If you're buying any of the, well, Devontae's gone, what are the Packers really going to be? And we're going to see. So if there's a little fade there, like the Vikings are absolutely the team that needs to catch all that fade. I like them a lot on over 9.5. I think they win some of those games that they should have won last year. And I think it's a real, real competition for that division. I think it's Vikings, Packers. I give a slight edge to the Vikings. I'm sorry. Don't. And I love Aaron Rodgers.
I was just going to ask you.
If they're healthy, right. I do see it finally.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's okay. I mean, the division's always ours. So, hey, we'll take a little competition. I still like the Green Bay Packers. Let's get to them. I think what's been promising from what we've seen in the preseason when they played out in San Francisco is rookie wide receiver Romeo Doubs. I like this guy. I like this guy a lot. He looked really good. And everyone is questioning what we're going to do at receiver. Well, maybe receiver by committee. You know what I mean? It might just be one of those years. And obviously some offensive line injuries with Elton Jenkins, David Bakhtiari, like I mentioned earlier. But there's some options here. And then I like our run game with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Like I mentioned, we got to get A.J. on the show. But I think our run game's going to be stout. So those are the Green Bay Packers. And they're still a favorite to win the division. Let's see their odds.
And you like over, like where are you with the 11.5 win total?
I like over. I like them to win at -155. And I like at least 12 wins. Sure. Do you? And
you got to beat the Giants in London if that's going to happen. You have to go through the Giants in London.
All roads go through London. Yeah. that's good. Okay, NFC South. Tom Brady is back, but he's on vacation. I mean, right? Don't you think that a lot of people were concerned when he stepped away for a little bit, and then it's kind of coming out some speculation of, oh, maybe he's just on a vacation that was planned before his retirement was revoked? I don't know. Where do you think Tom is?
I don't know, but when I say who cares, I mean that with all due respect. It's like,
me too.
You know,
I don't care.
I know, like when my mom retired, she had a bunch of sick time saved up and she's like, oh, I can retire early and just use the sick time, even though I'm not sick. I look at it like this is like sick time you never took. Guy hasn't missed a lot of games, you know, maybe phased out camp. I just think it's like, look, I'll be there, guys. I'll be there. I'll be on time when the game's on. I'll be there. Like, trust me.
Yeah.
So if anyone's earned the trust to be like, all right, you want to go on an extent, like, come on, man. Guy's 45 years old. Go ahead. Take an extended vacation. It's fine. I don't think you're setting a bad example for the young guys. I think they absolutely know who you are and what you've been about your entire career. So go ahead. Do whatever it is. You hope everything's okay, right? You hope, obviously, he's not taking leave for any negative reasons. And if it's just, I need a little more time before I get going, take it. You're 45 years old. Take it.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. And they are the favorite, -275 to win the division. They're in such a bad division. So yeah, I don't think there's anything.
And they're loaded.
Yeah, they are.
They're absolutely, like, Gronk retires and it's like, all right, well, you know what? Even if, like, Julio Jones does, like, a half a Gronk impression, which he, and I know they don't play the same position, but just on the receiving side, like, they are loaded. Although,
yeah, but Julio's on his third team in 3 years. And he's always supposed to be this big red zone target. And I feel like he's just kind of disappointing. He's kind of flatlining. I hope I'm not going to eat my words and he's going to blow up with Tom Brady. He probably will. Tom Brady will probably make him look really good here.
Yeah. And when you got Mike Evans on the outside, who Mike Evans just is a touchdown machine, that could really open. Again, I don't think he needs to be Julio Jones of 5 years ago. But to have that as like your third or fourth option, they're just loaded. They're loaded. I know a lot of people are like feeling good about the Saints, and the Saints have a lot of things to feel good about. But I still can't wrap my head around looking at anyone for this division than the Bucs. They're just barring injury, they're loaded.
Yeah. With the Saints, I mean, obviously they have a new coach. Sean Payton steps away. You know, the defense is great. The New Orleans defense is fantastic. They have solid vets. And then remember, they get Michael Thomas back this year. He was hurt. At wide receiver, and Chris Olave, a rookie, he's been impressing at camp. So I think they've got a couple good receiver options. And then Alvin Kamara, who's facing suspension right now, you know, no opinion on why he's suspended, but just from an X's and O's standpoint, his suspension is pushed back a month, so he will be playing. So offensively, I like him, and defensively, I like him. So still, Buccaneers to win, but let's see, what's the win total for the Saints? Because I'm just going to take the over.
For the Saints, it's 8.5. So that's a sneaky good over. And I guess if you it's hard to really, you know, they're plus 325, I think, to win the division. So... I don't know. It's kind of tough. Do you have any, probably the hardest team to really figure out with the Panthers, right? Like,
yeah,
we haven't seen Christian McCaffrey healthy in a while. Okay. They have some weapons there. I do think they're well coached. Now they got Baker. Any sneaky little underdog, what about us Panthers stuff for them? Or like, is it, no, you guys are like, eh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see their attendance at their preseason game, by the way?
Was it bad?
Oh.
It's preseason, though.
It's really bad. So I'm kind of friends with Baker Mayfield and his wife. And his wife put on her Instagram the other day, Emily Mayfield. She's great, by the way. She put on her story that she, you know, is like, come on, Panthers fans. Like, we got to get you in the stands, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, boy, that's bad if the starting quarterback's wife is begging people to come to games. That's bad.
I think they'll show up. It's preseason. Like, yeah, I went to one preseason game in my life.
Preseason games in Lambeau are rocking.
Okay, well, I mean, you're talking about one of the more tradition-bred franchises ever. You know,
that's my gold
standard.
I've
been to one preseason game in my life, and I'll probably never go to another one, and... something terrible happened. Jason Sehorn, don't know, it might be before your time, okay? Jason Sehorn, who's top DB in the league for the Giants. They had him running back kicks and punts, preseason game against the Jets, running back like his first kick, blows his knee out, carted off, whole season gone. Like, I love the preseason, but I also hate it. I'm not buying into, like, I think the fans in Carolina will show up. Go beat the Browns. Watch and see if they show up in week 2, 3, and 4. Watch.
Yeah.
Go beat the Browns, Baker, and then they'll show up. All right, it's time, Olivia, because this is the division I'm most excited about, because I really do have a take, and I'm going to save it. And it's one of these takes where people are, again, going to roll their eyes, but if I'm right, oh, the victory lap I will take when it comes to the NFC West. That's why I love the NFC, because I think there's a few of these wild takes that could actually come true, whereas the AFC, it's a little tighter at the top. So, but let's slow play it, okay? Obviously, we have the Super Bowl champs in this division.
Mm-hmm.
Our Rams, okay? We can maybe, you know what? Let's start with the Cardinals, actually, because they had the most kind of talk in the offseason with the Kyler stuff and all that. You know, they, I guess, at BetMGM, maybe expect a little bit of a slide because they're over under win totals, 8.5. They're plus 350 on the division. Do you think that since all this chatter has been about sort of just Kyler Murray, like how much do you think this impacts the team? Do you expect them to maybe step back from where they were last year? I personally do, not much, but a little step back.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Cardinals were so noisy. And one thing especially, I think you've got two divas, Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. I think they're both diva-ish. And one thing that really led me to that assumption is that in camp, I guess Kyler Murray was kind of talking smack about the play calls. And Cliff said, okay, you know, you try it. If it's so easy, you try it. And I guess it went horribly. And Kingsbury said to the media after, I wouldn't play for Coach Kyler Murray. I guess he did horrible calling plays. And I think this is like toddler behavior. And it's so funny to me that it's come down to this. And then, of course, the addendum in the contract of must study 4 hours at home. And then, and here's my thing with that, too. I know that's kind of old news by now, but Kyler Murray signed that contract with that verbiage in it. So I don't know why it was so surprising when that leaked, when people saw that. You know, and he acted like he was so offended. And I think his quote was something like, you don't get this far unless you study and blah, blah, blah. And obviously there are great quarterbacks in history. We know this, that are not big film guys, not big prep guys, just athletic freaks, lucky, great feel for the game, whatever. Like everyone knows Brett Favre didn't know what a nickel defense was to like his third year in the NFL, you know, stuff like that. But I don't know if that's who Kyler Murray is, but look, they've got, you know, their work cut out for them. I feel like now they just have to play and show that all this talk can dissipate as the season gets started. And, but yeah, I guess I don't like noisy teams by definition. So I don't have much hope in the Cardinals. So I'll take the under on 8.5 wins.
I'm going to take the under as well. Losing Chandler Jones certainly won't help. And, you know, obviously they got Hollywood Brown and he had his whole, you know, speeding arrest situation. I just think they're, look, put it this way. If the Cardinals win that division, I am just way off. And it's going to be one of those like, wow, what a bad, like, let's maybe bury this tape early on. Cause I don't really, I'm not saying they're an afterthought cause they still have a lot of talent there and Kyler's super talented, but they are not on my radar. To me, it's like it's a three team race. I know that might sound crazy and I'm going to get into it now.
Okay. Get into it.
Okay. Cause everyone kind of would probably think it's a two-team race, if that, or just maybe slot the Rams in and go for it and just everyone go home, which is very, I mean, that wouldn't be a bad take at all. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Look, Rams obviously plus 125 to the win of the division, 10.5 win total, and 49ers plus 175, similarly 10.5 win total, so they pretty even there. Now, Trey Lance, who I love, I think Trey Lance is going to be really, really good. Is he going to be good right now? It's a risk. We don't know. I think maybe he'll be good in 2 or 3 years. Maybe he'll be good this year. We don't know. Hard to really put your money on that, but the Niners are a good team. Obviously, we know the Rams, like Allen Robinson, just loaded, loaded, loaded. If you are going to bet.
Here it comes.
Now we're talking about betting. This is a betting segment. Bet MGM. This is a betting segment, okay? Sure, you could go sprinkle a little plus 175 on the Niners. That's cute, and you may hit that. You want to really have some fun responsibly. You know, I'm not, this is not a like, yeah, you know, yeah, bet the farm situation. This is a little dusting, just a little taste. Hear me out on the division. Okay. This is a long shot. The Seahawks at plus 1600.
I mean,
all I'm going to say is hear me out. Let me make the pitch. Now, again, we're talking long shot. If you're looking for a long shot, I'm not saying lock of the year. I do think the lock of the year is over 5.5 wins. I do think you could pencil that in. They will win 6 or more games, my opinion.
Okay.
They're probably not going to win the division. But if you want to throw a little something at plus 1600, again, hear me out. Say Trey Lance is still maybe a year away from being amazing. And I know they still have a lot of talent. Okay. The Niners have the 5th hardest schedule difficulty. The Cardinals have number 2. The Rams have number 1. Okay, the Rams open up Bills, Falcons, Cardinals. You could say they roll through that. Niners open up Bears, Seahawks, Broncos. You could say they roll through that. The Seahawks have on the schedule the Jets, the Giants, the Lions, the Falcons, the Panthers. These are winnable games. They still have DK Metcalf. They still have Tyler Lockett. They still have a running back there. Now, I know there's holes elsewhere. I get it. And I know we're talking, you know, we're talking Geno Smith. We're talking Drew Lock. Who the hell knows? But if you were going to put a small little, let's have some fun with a lottery ticket here, definitely throw a little something on the 5.5 win total, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I will be betting a small amount on the Seahawks to win the division based off their strength of schedule. You know, the Rams don't get the Lions. The Rams don't get the Jets. The Rams don't get the Giants. Neither do the Niners from what I see right here. And then the schedule doesn't get tough. So if they steal some of these division games, and if the Cardinals are the ones that maybe slide, and the Seahawks could sweep the Cardinals and beat the Jets, beat the Giants, beat the Lions, beat the Falcons, they are in business, is all I'm going to say. They're in business. Love Seahawks at plus at over 5.5. And I am going to be sprinkling just a little tiny plus 1600 lottery ticket for some fun.
Oh, again, my gosh.
Come on. All right. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Well, I think that take is ice cold. I don't think that's a sizzling hot take. I think that is absolute trash. The Seahawks are plus 1600. Now, you did convince me that they'll win more than 5.5 games. I'm with you on that. But I mean, come on. In a division with the Rams, 49ers, Cardinals, that's three interesting quarterbacks. Obviously, Matthew Stafford's going through this little injury, and I don't know yet if we should be concerned about that. Sean McVay does not like to play starters in the preseason, so I'm not worried about, you know, any of that, or that he's not able to work out with some of his new receivers like Allen Robinson we talked about earlier. So that's kind of it on the Rams. 49ers, I think they go as Trey Lance goes. I think that's going to be interesting, but you know, they paid Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver, he should take another step forward. They have great line play defensively, you know, great pass rushers, Nick Bosa coming off the edge, Fred Warner. There's enough to like there with the 49ers. And then the Cardinals, like I mentioned, I'm not hot on them, but I still think they're a far superior team than the Seahawks. So no, I think this might be like, did you just have a stroke? Are you all right? Are you feeling okay?
No, listen, I like lottery tickets. I like long shots. Now, again, like I said, I feel a lot stronger about the over 5.5 wins. I'm not telling anyone plus 1600 a lock, but you know, they open up Monday night against Russell Wilson and the Broncos in Seattle. That's going to be an emotional game for both sides. If they could pull off that W, then they do go into San Francisco. That's going to be potentially rough. Who knows? Then they go Falcons, Lions. Get off to that good start. Listen, I know. I get it. But let it be archived. If there is some action to this, we're going to replay this all year, all winter long. If the Seahawks are like 7-2, this clip's going to be on my social media the whole winter.
All right, our producer, Matt, go ahead and clip this because I'm going to want to play this at the end of the season because I think I'm going to be looking much smarter here. My God. Hey, do you think the Falcons win one game? You mentioned Seattle plays the Falcons. Does Atlanta win one game?
I mean, I think so. Yes, I still think that they're like offensively, you know, I feel better about it if Calvin Ridley was going to be there, you know, but offensively, they certainly have weapons. I don't know. It's going to be, Yes, they will. The Texans won. Yes, they'll win some games. I don't know which ones, but they'll win some games.
God, you love the weaklings, don't you? Well, you love the bottom of the barrel.
I don't know. I feel like, at least in the betting sense, it's an underdogs kind of, for me, they just stand out to me way, way more. And they're more fun.
Yeah. Well, you've been sports gambling longer than I've been alive, so maybe I should just take your
Joe
word
Montana on the Chiefs. Woo! Remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was an awesome episode. I've got my work cut out for me. I've got to go watch a bunch more Entourage and apparently some Stranger Things, because I need to get your reference because I don't watch that show.
I feel like I'm like your pop culture liaison at this point. Yeah, Stranger Things just should be next up in the queue for you, for sure.
All right, buddy. I'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.